fried egg requires a different technique. What you need to do is actually square the face so it'll dig down underneath that bad lie and propel that ball right out onto the green.
Here's the thing, playing out of a buried lie in a bunker is completely different than playing out of a nice, clean lie in a greenside bunker.
You need to be aggressive on any shot, whether it's sitting cleanly or it's a fried egg.
Well, we've all faced it, the dreaded fried egg. It's not to be feared, though. It's actually a pretty easy shot to hit.
Welcome back to Explorations, a Fried Egg Golf Podcast, a newish Fried Egg Golf Podcast. This is season one. We're currently in Northern Ireland on the road. I'm Brendan Porath of Fried Egg Golf. I'm joined by Andy Johnson.
Shouldn't we be given dates here? What is it, March 11th?
I don't think
11th?
So. No,
2024?
I don't think so.
No, what if this becomes a time capsule?
No,
somebody's listening 20 years from now.
I think the information's as good 20 years from now as it is March 11th to 2024 as we record this. Andy, we've been here, I don't know, 5-6 days. We've done a bunch of golf. We've done some good nightlife stuff, some good eating, some good, a little bit of culture, a lot of golf. Been a great trip so far. Today we're going to talk about
Can I ask you a question?
What?
We watched, this ties into the what we're going to talk about. We watched some of the Ireland-England rugby match. What did you think about the sport of rugby? Had you watched much of it? Had you watched it really ever?
I've watched enough to know I don't know anything about it. That's what makes sense. I thought you were about to get us in some, a lot of people laughing at it. You're like, is this like a jump ball? What is this? Is this the tip off?
The scrum. The
scrum. You're like, is that a touchdown? What's going on? Field goal. What did you make of it? It looks brutal, but probably they say it's safer than American football. Because of, I don't know why. Maybe I don't know why. But it, there's
do you think
not the
pads
amount of
makes
the helmets.
The pads and thing. Helmets make
maybe. Perhaps. What'd you make of it?
That's a crazy game.
You were a little
mind
blown.
I think I could be kind of into it. Yeah. I love how they can only like pass the ball backwards.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's getting bigger in the States. There's more like high school teams and high school programs. They got youth programs around me. They play touch. I don't know how that works, but yeah, it's getting bigger. It's an interesting. You were sort of incredulous at what you were watching there. You were watching Ireland, England on Saturday. So Saturday, as I was getting to, done a lot of golf, some culture, what's amusing. Saturday was the one day we did not play golf on this trip, and our version of culture was going to see a golf course, the home of Rory McIlroy. Went to Hollywood Golf Club in Belfast, Hollywood just outside of Belfast. Drove up from Newcastle. It was like 40 minutes. Not a bad drive. Just check it out. We wanted to see that. Obviously, he's a prominent figure in the game. We were so close to where he grew up. What'd you make of it driving in?
I thought it was cool. I think it's just neat to like anything. One of the courses I want to go see is where Pete Dye grew up playing golf in Indiana. That's always been on my list of places to see. But I think seeing where, you know, notable figures in the game of golf cut their teeth is always an interesting thing. And one of the neat things about Hollywood is they've made their clubhouse a little bit of a historical place with, you know, trophies and there's some really cool old photos of when Rory was growing up. And, you know, just actually, I think it could be a neat golf course. I think it could be.
It's not held in like super high regard in Northern Ireland. It's certainly not one of the great links course. It's you ask some people around here and they kind of like, well, are you going to actually play it or what are you doing? But why do you think it could be neat?
It's on like, it's super severe. It's like
crazy
for Americans. Like think about, Olympic Club and that kind of hill, maybe more severe of a hill than Olympic Club. And a lot of the holes just kind of play along the hill. So they're either going to be extreme right to left lies or extreme left to right lies, depending on which way you're going. But there's some really neat landforms out there, like irregular shapes and irregular landforms, that I think if some of the holes just kind of got a little bit closer to them, it would be really neat.
You were kind of like on the ground. This isn't just for the podcast. You were kind of, this could be cool. Oh, this is a cool hole. I like this. It was like, you start out, you're like, whoa, this is like a bunny hill for a ski resort. There should be a lift at the bottom that takes you to the top, and you did a little bunny hill. But they've got 18 holes somehow in here. It was, but you, we went out a little farther, and you were like, this is, you saw some holes that you thought could be a little cooler. And we obviously saw it in a time where it's coming out of winter.
It's wet this time of year because it's not a links course. And I think it's definitely a golf course that if you play at, you learn how to hit golf shots. It's not your driving range golf course. Is like you're going to learn how to play golf.
Fit some things in, tight windows, fit some things off on even lies. The one thing that struck me as we were there is how, like, whatever rating or review or critique you want to give it, like, sometimes the basic, like, a primary function of a golf club or golf course is like a community center. It felt like kind of like this main gathering community center. Of course, like, the reason there is golf and they go out and play golf, but it felt like a sort of informal, like, this is our community center. And we were there during a rugby match, but I imagine that the bar and everything's hopping, and Rory's given a lot back to it. Certainly he's built on some massive, like, training centers, apparently the largest TrackMan bays, the most TrackMan bays in the U in what GB and
I think outside of Carnoustie.
So he's put some money into it.
Awesome, Jim. I got a good foam roll in.
This old woman was trying to do her workout, and Andy comes into the paint. He's got his backpack. We're taking a tour, and you start foam rolling. And this woman's trying to get her lift in, like her little 2-pound weights, and she's trying to do her calisthenics. And there you are, like, oh, like foam rolling into her territory.
I needed the foam roll. My leg's been killing me. I needed it. Should have been doing that the entire week after running a marathon. Instead, I'm trucking around Ireland, you know, Northern Ireland, just, you know, adding to the pain.
You're compounding the issues you put on your body during the marathon. The one thing that stuck out to me, a big takeaway, and it just sort of hit me like a ton of bricks as I was standing in the pro shop looking around, is I was fortunate to go to La Trobe Country Club, the home of Arnold Palmer, where he grew up, like, probably actually like 2 or 3 weeks before he died, I met him there. And it sort of reminded me of that. For whatever reason, it was pretty Spartan. It was like kind of stuck in a place in time. It wasn't like old school, but it was unassuming. It wasn't pretentious. It was pretty thin, aside from all that Rory's put into it. Arnold Palmer put a ton of money into La Trobe, basically owned it by the time he was done. He'd bought all the barns around it, houses in town, put a ton of money into the club, but never like made it opulent, never like boosted it. Like, the gym is a gym and the TrackMans are nice.
It wasn't opulent. Great gym for a country club.
Right. It wasn't garish. Like, it didn't have extra designs, and it wasn't meant to be super fancy. And Arnold Palmer put a ton of money into La Trobe. His dad worked there, Deacon Palmer, right? Rory's dad poured pints, right? He ran the bar. It was just sort of like this sort of unpretentious. And obviously, some people talk about Rory being a modern day Arnold. I'm not even buying into that necessarily, making that parallel. They certainly have a lot of people behind them, or that they had. And it really, really reminded me of that day of driving into La Trobe. Not the courses being, well, the courses are, like, La Trobe gets crazy narrow and on some crazy up and down hills, like, that seem a little extreme at times, but Rory's looking after it a little bit in the way that Arnold Palmer, and they weren't the fanciest places. They weren't the highest rated golf courses. And I wonder, you have two legends. Tiger played at the Naval, of course. Like, and we hear so much about, like, you know, if you have a kid who has some talent, do you need to move to Palm Beach, or do you need to move to, you know, St. Simons? And do they need to be in these, like, not if you can afford it, right? Not everybody can afford that. But, like, where are we going with AJGA and junior golf? Is that required now? Can you grow up at a Hollywood? Can you grow up at a La Trobe or the Naval course in Southern California? I don't know. It was just interesting. I thought about where these all-time legends and historical figures came from. And it's not that much. And are we creating a game that maybe you're boxed out? Or it feels like there's enough initiatives that what youth on course, whatever it is, that maybe that's not the case. But it was interesting to me because the Latrobe stuff jumped off the map when you start talking about the dad, the type of course, that the place still isn't going to be the fanciest despite having an alumnus with all the money in the world and someone who was kind of taking care of it in a way. So, and its entire identity now is wrapped up in that character.
I mean, Rory's not even the most prominent McIlroy there. His uncle seems like a real menace in the club championship.
He had his name all over the plaques of, yeah. Yeah.
And Jerry was a killer in the match play. Did you see that?
Yeah. Well, he's got uncles. I'm not familiar like with this. They're like, "Oh, yeah, his uncle like Bugsy's out there right now and on 15 coming in. You'll see him." So, I mean, this is like the identity of the club now, whether for better or worse. I mean, I assume Rory embraces that, but you know, a massive identity of the club is that it produced this all-time sort of talent. So it was interesting for me. For that regard, I found it interesting to go and see. Funny part, we get out of the car, and there's two just guys, literally just guys, walking to their car, one with two tailor-made tour bags, like absolute Titanic behemoth bags. Like, what? One is like the Open Championship sort of color scheme. The other is a clear U.S. Open tailor-made bag. And you're like, well, so that's got filtered through somewhere from Rory to somebody. I don't know if that's a relative or what. We're like, I guess we're at the right place. The two tour bags.
I think the other thing that I found really cool was the impact it seems like that's had on junior golf, that facility. It seems like it's a hotbed for junior golf. It probably has to do with the training, you know, what the gym and the TrackMan bays do. But, you know, apparently talking to Kyle, their assistant pro, like something like 10% of, or what was it, 10% of junior golfers? I'm butchering it. Some percentage of junior golfers in Northern Ireland were like members there.
Locked in there, yeah. Based there. Yeah.
So yeah. It's become a spot because of the facilities that are there in terms of, you know, Tom McKibben plays out of there, which I think probably is nice with the gym and the TrackMan base, but it's become a place that is if you're a competitive golfer, you go be there.
It was a cool spot. I think like if you're around in and around Belfast, you're driving from wherever, Newcastle to Port Rush or something, I think it's worth checking out. If it's a nice day and you want to hit it around, I would go there too.
Summer, I would play that.
You
golf
were very
course.
Interested in trying to play it.
I think they made a mistake changing the 10th hole.
What was that? So we're talking some extreme. The entire thing's on the side of a hill.
Massive hill. The 10th hole used to be the short par 3 that played straight up the hill. I mean, straight up
what
the
kind
hill.
Of elevation
had to
change?
Be like 60 feet up.
And not a long hole. Par 3.
Short par 60 3. Feet. Like, it just basically played straight up to get you to the 11th tee.
You're requesting they put it back that way.
Well, now it's a little like practice putting green and you have to walk up the hill. Yeah. You know what like helps you walk up a giant hill?
Hitting it.
Wondering where your ball is. Gets you up the hill quicker. They call it heart attack hill.
Yeah, they do. It was a good workout. Anyways, I thought it was interesting just to see and see it kind of not super changed, right? Aside from the facilities put on the front, but it was a cool little spot. And I think it's worth your time to kind of duck in there and see, you know, obviously a lot of the memorabilia they have. I found it, I was skeptical, like, you know, we only have so much time here. Should we go? I found it super enriching that we checked it out.
Lots of coffee shops in town too. So you can get coffee then Hollywood. Wander over there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that does it for this episode of Explorations. We'll be back with a little more. We got Royal Port Rush ahead of us. We got the short course at Royal County Down. Andy's buzzing about that. A little more culture, a few interviews coming. We'll talk to you then.